Well, guys, as you might have guessed, this episode is a little bit different, and it's the first one I have with a guest. What you just heard there was a little bit of an outtake from when me and my guest first started talking, and more about that particular giggle will be revealed at the very end of the episode. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this first ever Woofing Possum podcast episode, which is episode number 4, our first with the guest, the wonderful Carrie Ann from Canine Hooper's World. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm all right, my lovely. How are you?
I'm fab. Thank you very much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us on the podcast.
Oh, thanks for inviting me. It's an absolute pleasure.
Well, this is a first for me, as you are the first ever guest on the Woofing Possum podcast. So I will send you a certificate or something to that effect. But thank you very much.
Amazing. A bit of trip through the post is what is needed.
Definitely. So, Carrie Ann, you are the lady behind Canine Hooper's World.
Well, apparently so, yes. So, Canine Hooper's World is my little project, my little baby. It is officially a year old, which is
happy birthday. So do you want to tell me a little bit about, well, A, how you got into dog training, because that's how we initially met, but then obviously kind of what spawned the birth of Canine Hooper's World?
So dog training, my little story. So many moons ago, I actually taught horse riding originally.
All right.
Always worked with animals, like since I've left school, worked with horses, worked at a cattery, worked at groomers. It's always been animals. And then I had a delightful little terrier. Anyone that owns a terrier knows what I mean by a delightful little terrier, called Tizer, aka Mr. Pig. And Tizer was, wow, just, yeah, he taught me so much. And I did lots of what was wrong at the start, like things that you see on telly that you think you're meant to copy. Like, I look back now and I think, oh my God, that poor little dog. Like, I think if he'd been any other breed apart from a terrier, he would have packed his bags and left home. Like, nightmare. So, I actually, my other half one day came home with a puppy. He went to work and found a puppy, and Munchkin came home. And because we weren't sure of Munchkin's breeding, she's a Staffy Lab mix. We were like, right, we need to do some training. I was friends with a dog trainer at the time and started going to his classes. And then a while later, a lady that was at the same horse yard as me set up dog training and asked me to become one of her dog trainers.
Oh, wow.
And I started teaching puppy classes.
In at the deep end then.
And then I decided that maybe I should learn about dog training.
Can't be for horse and all that.
Is a little bit backwards, but that's kind of the way it was sort of happened. So then I found the IMDT. Started my training journey there, and I actually got sacked from my first training job because we had an argument about not using a choke chain. I set up my own company.
Fab.
And then 8 years after that, I set up Canine Hoop as well. So that's kind of how the training started, and then, yeah.
So Canine Hooper's World. So do you want to just explain a little bit about what Hoopers is, and then how you got into it and what made you start Canine Hooper's World?
So Hoopers is a agility based sport, but it's not agility. The way I like to explain it is it's like playing croquet with your dogs but without the upside down flamingos. So you've got a series of archways, which are the hoops,
right,
barrels that the dogs go around, and tunnels for the dogs to go through. Some competition bodies also use what they call a gate, which is a passing object, and a tango mat, which is like a contact, similar to agility. But hoop as well, we stuck to the basics. So it's basically hoops, tunnels, barrels. The tunnels in hoopers are 80 centimetres diameter instead of agility, which is 60.
Right, so bigger.
The only breed of dog I've had that couldn't go through a hooper's tunnel was an Irish Wolfhound. All the other breeds can fit. Whereas with the agility tunnels, when you watch large breed dogs, they kind of crunch themselves up and
sort of bump.
It just looks a bit awkward. Also, hooper's tunnels are shorter, so the dogs can just whiz through them. Like, so Dodge, my shepherd puppy, if we've got a hooper's tunnel out, we call it the tunnel of Zoom, because as he goes through it, he just goes mad afterwards. Like, he can only do tunnel a couple of times in a training session because it just blows his brain, because tunnel is like the most fun thing ever in the universe. If you can hear weird noises on my audio, it's because Dodge and Munch are currently play fighting behind me. And they've decided that recording a podcast is the most appropriate time to play when they've been asleep the whole morning.
If you're having fun, they need to have fun.
Oh, they're having a lovely time. It's fine.
And you are as well, right?
Hooper's World, I got into Hooper's 3 years ago. Did my first workshop with the fabulous Lisa Jordan. I love Lisa. Lisa's are now the Canine Hooper's World Faculty Advisor.
Wow.
That's her official title.
Very nice.
And Lisa's fab. She's Dodge's Hooper's instructor.
Right.
So she's awesome. Because I feel it's important as trainers, we still train with other people.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Because you never stop learning. So it's good. And Lisa's got loads of experience with shepherds, which I had shepherds growing up, but it's very different to actually owning one as an adult.
Of course, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that the shepherds in the 80s were very different to the shepherds now. Like, I feel they're a different thing. I don't know.
The only thing that's changed is you, carry on.
Yeah, well, it's not growing up, is it, really? So, you know. Started my hoopers journey with tiny dogs. So Minx is my little reactive chihuahua. She's a little firecracker that wears her sassy pants every day. She's a madam. She has 5 breeds on her approved breed list, and if you are not in that approved breed list, she doesn't like you, basically. She's a bit breedy. It's not her fault. At Hooper's, she doesn't care what other dogs are around her because she's training and she's focused, and it was a massive confidence builder and turning circle for her. So that was kind of how I got bitten by the bug. And also, being chihuahua, it's quite hard to do a lot of dog sports with her because she's ickle.
Yes.
And most dog sports are designed for larger breeds. Because there's no jumping, any single dog, any breed, any size, any age can have a go at hoopers, which was the massive appeal for me as a kind of pet dog trainer.
Definitely.
Because also, you don't need a lot of kit. So from an outlet point of view, there's not a lot of outlay for us as trainers with kit. But as an instructor, like, anyone can come along. Everyone has fun. The dogs have a lovely time. And it's literally just about dogs and people having a lovely time together.
Oh, brilliant.
So that's kind of what it was. And then, so a year ago, and I know it's a year ago because it keeps coming up on my blooming Facebook reminder day, I actually got invited to Australia to teach Hoopers.
Wow.
And that is where Hoopers World was kind of born, because I got asked, oh, well, we've heard of Hoopers, can you come and teach us? And I was like, yeah, of course. And I parted from the organisation I was with.
Right.
We will phrase it that way. Yeah. And I decided that I was going to do my own thing, and had a little bit of a push from Mr. Mann from IMDT. So
yes, yeah.
He basically gave me a shove and went, go and do your own thing. And Hooper's World got set up, and we've now got over 200 members in over 6 countries worldwide.
Wow. In 12 months.
Yeah.
That is spectacular. Well done. Yeah.
Not bad, is it?
No, definitely not. I'm a little bit blown away by that. That's absolutely amazing. But it's not just, obviously, we'll kind of circle back to Canine Hooper's world a little bit, but one of the ways I kind of really got to know more about you was through the Canine Hooper's World podcast.
Oh, yeah, my little podcast.
Yeah, so do you want to tell me a little bit more about that?
Collaboration.
Ah, yes, which is obviously one of the reasons you were right at the top of my hit list when I was looking for guests, because you were one of the first people I really started listening to with podcasts. There was probably yourself, Nick Benger, a couple of others, but yeah, hence why you were right on the top of that list to invite along and join me on the Wolf and Porson podcast. So what inspired your podcast? What kind of made you...
It's Nick's
add
fault.
That additional. Is it, was it Nick, was it?
It's Nick's fault. Nick Benger, it's all your fault. Nick, if you're listening, it's all your fault. I'm blaming you entirely. No, I'd had a few... Nick did a little bit of mentoring with me, and we were sort of talking about marketing and how to get Hooper's World out there. And he went, do a podcast. Like, I kept having people say to me about doing videos and all the rest of it, but doing the podcast, like the first few... You said it yourself, you can tell the first few I scripted because I was so nervous and I was like, oh my God. And I kind of knew what I wanted to talk about, but I wasn't confident enough doing it. Now I hit record and what happens, happens. And that's just the way I do it.
But it's so much better because it's natural. You get, I again, following your advice, I tried probably scripting my first episode or two, and it does, it just, you feel clunky and awkward, where I think when you can just be yourself a bit more, it, like you say, it flows, it just comes out, you know all the stuff, you know what you want to talk about. And what I absolutely love about your podcasts is they're really kind of to the point. So they're not, I listen to some dog related podcasts which are 90 minutes long, where yours are probably, what, 15, 20 minutes, I think, kind of on average?
A few of the subjects go on a bit longer. I have to make sure I don't start ranting sometimes. If it's a subject I'm really passionate about, I have to kind of reel it in. And some of them I've done, it'll be like an almost a mini-series inside the episode. So before all the craziness started, I did... rescue and puppy, getting a new dog,
yes,
and how rescue doesn't mean broken and how puppies are not clean slates. And that's two subjects that I think people get really, it's a real misconception out there. I've done an episode on just dog facts, which was just kind of random facts of stuff that I found on the internet that I found quite amusing.
I did like that. There was one, and I'm now going to struggle to recall what it was, but it really did make me laugh, and it has just totally escaped my head as I've said that. So
I kind of remember how many I found, but I was trawling the internet, and I mean, I found some absolute codswallop. Like, some of it was just, it was just a load of rubbish. Like, I was like, what are you talking about? But that's not a thing. That's not a thing. That's not a thing. But the funny ones, like, I kept, like, the one of the German Shepherd that did the Appalachia Trail with his owner as the guide dog. Yeah. I was like, that's really cool. And also, I just love saying Appalachia.
To be fair, it's a beautiful part of the world, and it is one of those places where you look at it and think, I'd be amazed. Just to do a normal dog walk, let alone the whole thing. It's a beautiful part of the United States. So
awesome. It is. So the podcast kind of, it started off being very Hooper's based, about kind of sports dogs. We've touched on nutrition, hydration, hydrotherapy, massage, like kind of looking after your canine athlete. It's aimed, I would say, kind of savvy owner. So people that are looking at getting into dog sports, there's hopefully lots of nice information for them, but I also wanted it to be a resource that trainers could use for their clients. So if they heard an episode and went, oh, that would be helpful for that, just zap that episode to that person.
I must admit, that's one of the things I absolutely love about it, is the way it's not for all, as you absolutely say, there's a lot of Canine Hoopers and dog sport related content that isn't just the only audience. Like, say, the elements about puppies and rescues and all those topics that you've covered, that's what I kind of really like about it, because it shows you how so many things are intertwined and interlinked, but it's so consumable as just anyone. It's just, if you've got a dog in your life, or even if you're thinking about getting a dog in your life, that's what I absolutely love about your podcast, is it just gives you really short, punchy bits of information that are really easy to digest. And like you say, I've passed it on to many a client for that reason, because it's a, you can listen to me talk, but listen to Carrie Ann, professionally speaking.
You can listen to she will give you the one as well.
But no, it's absolutely fab. So it's a thank you for putting out that podcast. I really enjoy it. Looking forward to your next episode as well.
Yeah, I don't. Well, the next episode is going to be you talking.
Exactly. Why do you think I'm looking forward to it? Not that I'm a crazy egomaniac.
I get that. So, we're going to be talking about some different things and different ideas of stuff we can be doing with dogs during lockdown. So I know this is something you've touched on, it's something I've both touched on, but I think it'll be good to kind of compare notes for people and
Definitely. Give
some other ideas, because I think that most of us thought lockdown was going to be about a month and it's dragging on a bit now. So
it's a really unique time. I'm looking forward to having that discussion, because there's so many different facets to it and so many different things that, like you say, professionals are doing in the industry, but also just dog owners generally. I'm speaking to so many people whose lives have just been completely turned on their head, and they don't know whether they're coming or going, let alone the poo or pooch. So I'm really looking forward to diving into that topic with you shortly.
Well, people will have to listen to that and this, and then they can listen to all of it. So they'll Definitely. Find that info on Canine Hooper's World, the podcast.
They certainly will. And towards the end, we'll make sure that we put all your links on the show notes as well. So back to Canine Hooper's World in terms of the is it classed as an organisation? Do you class it as an organisation?
I guess it is now. There's over 200 of us, so I guess so.
So you, as part of Canine Hooper's World, you do courses.
So the instructors, we've got a couple of courses. So the main focus for me is training up other trainers. So teaching other trainers how to teach hoopers safely and confidently are the two things that I'm really passionate about. Because health and safety risk assessment does get overlooked at times, and it is very important.
Yeah.
The other thing with Hooper's World, it's very much our little tagline is everyone's invited. Because it's, can you hear the house wolf in the background right now? Like, seriously.
It's because you're talking about his favourite subject.
Honestly, he's like, yeah, we can do teaching. House wolf, you're not helping. Apologies for the singing. It wouldn't be a podcast if we didn't have random
We are dog owners and dog professionals, so if there isn't a dog in the podcast, we're failing.
It happens. You do realise that anyone that's listening to this on loud with their dogs listening, all the dogs have probably just been set off. So sorry. So it's okay. So Hoopers. So Canine Hooper's World instructors that I have affectionately referred to as Chewies.
I like that.
Bit of a Star Wars geek. Well, just a bit of a geek in general, but they're Chewies. We've got a really lovely community going. So people... The course is available as an attendance course, which you are hopefully going to be attending when we're allowed
We were all scheduled for me to come along to one of your courses.
Yeah, we were.
It was in my neck
a couple of weeks ago, and we had to postpone it. So, but the level one is also available as an online course as well. And it's actually been an online course since the end of last summer. A lot of people are doing online stuff now due to...
Yes.
Current situations, but
you were ahead of the curve.
I was, which makes it trendsetter. Normally I'm like, oh, I'm meant to have done that. So I was ahead of the curve on soap for once. So yeah, the instructor's course, the online content is exactly the same as the attendance course. What a few of the trainers have done is they either do the online and then they go, actually, I want to come and do it in real world as well.
Yeah.
Or they do the real world course and then they end up buying the online course just as kind of a top up.
Yeah, yeah.
But if people do that, they do get... So once you become a Chewy, you do get a massive discount on the level one course. So because I didn't feel it was fair to charge people full price for doing the same course again.
Makes sense.
Which I think, you've got to be fair in business as well.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, that's the online course. And then if humans, if owners, if peoples want to do hoopers, there is a Hoopers at Home course for people to do.
Speaking of dogs.
There you go.
And so, speaking of that particular course, and again thinking of this crazy world of lockdown, as my pooch goes a little bit crazy, I think at the Portsmouth, do you need any prior experience to that, or as somebody locked down at the moment, could you kind of go on that and partake in that course and learn about hoopers in your home and start?
Yeah, definitely. So for instructors or owners, the course was written as I would teach it, and the video presentations are done exactly how I would teach in my class. So you still get the kind of carry experience of teaching, even though it's on video. Last year, the day we recorded was madness. The weather, right, we recorded in August, and the weather, we had, I think, 2 hours of dry, and then we had the most torrential rain going. And as you watch the videos, because we didn't film in sequence of how it's done on the course, we had to film it in sequence of how it needed to be filmed, basically.
Right.
So my hair, the continuity, my hair goes from being really dry and lovely and floofy to like looking like a drowned rat tail down my shoulder.
I can't say I'd ever have that problem, but it's...
But no, it was really fun videoing it, and I've had it all professionally edited and put together.
Oh, wow.
So it's good quality video that people can watch. And the idea is that people can watch the videos as many times as they want and need to, and practice those exercises at home. At the moment, you can still get equipment, but you don't need all the equipment to start. If you have a hula hoop and a couple of empty bottles, you could shove the hula hoop into two empty bottles and make a hoop out of that to start with. The barrels I use at home, at training, the trainer I go to with Dodge, Lisa, we've got pink washing laundry bins that we use for the barrels. Pop-up garden bins, your general dustbin is actually like, not the wheelie bins, you know, the old style dustbins.
Yes, yeah.
They work brilliantly as barrels, so that's fine. And you don't need tunnels at home. Like, we don't include tunnels in the at-home stuff because that's the most expensive bit of kit. And most dogs, once they've run through a tunnel a couple of times, they kind of get it.
Yeah.
So it's the hoops and barrels that need the practice, and you can easily practice that at home. Like, there's loads you can be practicing at home that you don't need to. We do also have a Facebook group, which is Canine Hoopers World. There are units in there that it's all free, and we've got a unit on warm up and cool down exercises, because that's something I'm really hot on, is warming up and cooling down your dogs properly. And there's a unit on barrel exercises, so all of that can be practiced at home.
Oh, right, fab. And that's Canine Hoopers World. Did people just search for that on Facebook?
Yeah. Canine Hoopers World. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and apparently Twitter, but I'm not very good with Twitter.
Me neither.
So it's mainly Insta and Facebook where the magic happens.
Fab. So obviously I've never done Hoopers personally, hence why I was looking forward to coming along to one of your courses. So what would it look like for me as a complete novice, or as a person who's just got my own dog and I want to come along to a Hoopers course by one of your fab instructors, one of your Chewies? What would it look like? What should I expect?
So class sizes will depend on the instructors. Normally 4 to 8.
Yeah.
We start off just building what we call hoop value, so getting the dogs going through a hoop and realizing that it's not scary and it's fine. Getting them to go around a barrel, nothing scary, it's fine. It's one of the reasons why I fell in love with Hoopers so much, is because it builds confidence and it also builds teamwork between dog and handler, because the dog needs to be listening to you to move away from you and do the behavior you're asking of going through a series of hoops or going round a barrel or whatever. But it also requires the dog to have a certain level of confidence to move away from mum and dad's side, not be offering eye contact. I mean, poor tiny dog had spent 6 years of heel position, eye contact, and all of a sudden I was asking her to go 3 meters away from me, and she was like, what? Are you sure? Now she'll comfortably work 4 or 5 meters away from me around a whole course.
Oh, wow.
Which obviously for a dog that's all of 30 centimeters long, that's quite a distance.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So do I need any kind of basic behaviours with my pooch? Is there some things that are good to have kind of in the bank already? Or can I kind of rock up with my ruly pooch who doesn't listen to me whatsoever? And
You probably want some basics. I mean, what a lot of the instructors do is they actually do like a pre-hoopers class.
Right.
So a lot of them run a course where they just go over the kind of basic listening skills your dog's going to need before getting involved in an actual class. And I mean, I had one lady came that the dog really hadn't done anything at all. So what I actually did with her is we did a one-to-one first just to build up basic skills, and then I dropped them in a class. So people that haven't trained with me before, what we normally do is a one-to-one first.
Yeah.
Got house wolf noises again. so that I can kind of assess the level the dog is at.
Yeah.
We have quite a few people coming over from agility that their dogs may not physically be suited to agility, but they want that outlet of a sport.
Yes.
So Hoopers is actually a really good kind of way of doing it because it's so low impact. So dogs that have had cruciate injuries, obviously once the vets sign them off, they might not be able to be doing the weaves or the jumps or all that kind of high impacty stuff. But with Hoopers, it's very much so. I always say when you look at a agility course, especially when you go up the grades, like grade 6, grade 7, you look at an agility course on paper and sometimes you struggle to even find the start. And then you've got a workout and you've got all these chechkas and like wing wraps and all this like crazy stuff going on, which takes so much training for the dog and the handler. Like it takes so much dedication. Whereas for me, Hoopers, because we've got the basics of hoops, barrels and tunnels, people can practice a bit at home. I feel it's a safer sport for people to do without a trainer there assisting because the dog's not going to knock themselves on anything or fall off anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Which worries me with some people practicing dog sports at home. Like, I'm so health and safety. It's crazy. It's very much for me about something that everyone's invited, everyone can get involved in. And as I said, the equipment doesn't need to cost a lot of money either. You can make hoops yourself. It's PVC pipe and hula hoops.
Winner.
If you want to get a bit swanky. All the measurements and everything you need are in the Hoopers World Facebook group. So you can find all that info there. Also, Canine Hoopers World Equipment, I'm going to give them a little shout out because Nigel at Hoopers World Equipment, at caninehoopersequipment.co.uk is his actual website. He's awesome. He's our official supplier. He does the cool barrels that like pop up and they're just awesome and cool tunnels. And yeah, so give Nigel a quick shout out because
he's our
main man. He supplies all the stuff, so he's cool. But yeah, people can just practice at home, and it's, for me, it's a real confidence builder for the dogs. Like, you see dogs week one and they're kind of not really focused, or they're checking in with mum and dad so much because that's what we've been instilling into them for the last however long we've been training.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden we go, actually, no, don't look at me, look ahead. And they go, what? And I mean, workshops, normally we do like, if we do an intro workshop, the goal is we do a mini course at the end. Right. And most dogs, by the 90 minutes, 2 hours, are all capable of doing a little tiny course at the end of it, which is amazing. And Definitely. Everyone's just buzzing.
That sounds awesome. So I fall into the camp of a reactive dog owner, thanks to my my lovely chef, Betty Boo. She's wonderful, but she's not a huge fan of seeing other dogs, particularly when she's in a kind of controlled environment, certainly when she's still on lead. So for me, with a dog like that, would Canine Hoopers be suitable?
Yeah, so I've got a few. In fact, I mean, I have a space dog rule anyway in my classes. Like, all my clients were pre-prepped for social distancing because, like, there is always a 3 meter rule in my class because tiny dogs reactive. So, yes. Because I own a tiny dog, I know exactly what you're going through, and it's just, yeah, there are times where you're like, oh my god, what are you doing? So for me, the way, if you were ringing me up and you were going to be my client, I would invite you to do some one-to-ones first.
Yep.
Just to get her understanding the game, building confidence. Then I would maybe suggest you coming to watch some classes with her and maybe her joining in with like watching the class so she kind of understands the good stuff, good stuff, good stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
For some reactive dogs, it's actually the movement of the other dogs can get them over aroused, can get them too excited, in which case I would be sticking to one-to-ones to start with. But there's so much stuff you can practice at home. And actually, having a reactive dog, one thing I think a lot of people forget about is giving them days off of the world.
Yes.
Where they don't go into the world and they don't see other dogs. So actually some Hooper's practice at home instead of a walk is a really good way of exercising her physically and mentally without having to deal with the world.
Yes. That's fun.
So that would kind of be my path with you guys. And then once she built her confidence up doing it, I think Minx had been doing Hooper's probably about a year and she was competing.
Fab. So with competitions, are there many in the UK?
There are more building up. There are several organisations. UK Hoopers have an awesome leaderboard scheme where you can compete anywhere and then you put your points onto their league tables.
Right.
And their leagues are very much... they've got different sizes, different age groups, different breed groups.
All right, okay.
So they've got a category just for teeny tiny dogs, which is amazing because in normal competition, and this is the reason I actually stopped competing, at the moment in the UK, competition is split between small and large.
Right, that's quite a broad spectrum.
Yeah, when I'm competing a Chihuahua against Staffords, Cockers, I was never getting placed because I didn't stand a chance. I don't know if you know Joanne Essex. She's got Stafford. Her Hoopers, like, she does agility and Hoopers with her guys, and they're just, wow, amazing. And Queenie's demoed Hoopers at Crufts for the last few years.
All right.
So the Staffordshire Bull Terrier display team.
Yes,
the one
yeah.
That's been Hoopers, that's Queenie.
Ah, all right.
So Minx competed against Queenie at Paws in the Park last year, year before, can't remember. There was 10 seconds difference in their time.
Wow.
I can't, like, that's not a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Minx ran her little paws off that day. And we wouldn't have got much faster. Like, we might have skimmed a second off or something, but 10 seconds is just not, which is one of the reasons why I stopped competing. So I was getting clear rounds, but I wasn't competing to get clear rounds. I was.
Yeah. With more sports. Yeah. You absolutely, you know, you want to try and succeed as a partnership. And yeah, when your physicality is deemed as limited, I assume that would be classed as it's slightly disheartening, isn't it?
One of the things I've introduced to Hooper's World for the instructors, if they want to do it, is actually working their clients through progress awards.
Right.
And we've got 10 levels of progress award.
Wow, you've just actually answered my next question, so that's fun. Oh, so 10 levels.
Yeah, so there are 10 levels of progress award. The way I started kind of basing it around martial arts, and then when I was messing around with colours, I realised that actually... it starts at white and you end at black and it's a rainbow in the middle.
Perfect.
Because for those that actually know me, know that if we can add more sparkle and rainbow into the world, we will. So, yeah, they start their white. The first three levels, the idea is you do 5-6 weeks of classes and then you have a course.
Right.
And if the dog gets a clear, they get their level.
Awesome.
So levels 1 to 3 is one course. Levels 4 to 4, 5, 6 is 2 courses clear. 7, 8, 9 is 3 courses clear. And then level 10, they have to do 4 courses. So in the UK, there's currently 4 different categories of hoopers.
Right. Okay.
So in competition, you have hoopers, which is just hoops.
Right.
Then you have barrelers, which is hoops and barrels.
Yep.
Tunnelers, which is hoops, barrels, tunnels, but more tunnels in it. And then mixed, which would be hoops, tunnels, barrels, and with the other organisations, tango, mat or gate.
Right.
So that's kind of all the equipment is in mixed. I love barrel courses. If you've ever watched horses barrel racing, it's like the canine equivalent. It's just it's epic. And actually, the barrels we use are the same pop-up barrels as they use in America for the horse racing.
Oh, right. Wow.
So they're pretty robust. They're designed for horses, so dogs hitting them is fine.
Yeah, yeah.
If the dogs do accidentally bump into them. Because you find once the dogs get so confident, they hug the barrels going around. Like you have horses, like it's like watching motorbikes going around corners.
Now you're talking my language.
Literally 45 degrees, like knee down, like around the corner. It's awesome. So yeah, that's kind of how we progressed it, because I wanted people to feel like if they wanted to compete, they could. But if they didn't want to compete, they could still progress and have. Yes. And the rosettes, I haven't got one to hand. I'll show you when we take a break. But the rosettes are 4-tier with a starburst. They're like...
That's a proper rosette. Yeah.
So you kind of like... I mean, Dodger's done his level 1 and Tiny Dog's up to level 3 because I'm working through them with my class at the moment. So
right. Oh, wow.
I progress her through with them. So they're all made and done and ready to go. And we're just working through them, which is really nice. And that's also nice for the instructors because it gives them a skeleton to base their lesson plans around to progress their clients.
Yeah, that sounds absolutely fantastic. I'm now super, even more excited than I was previously to come along to my first instructor's course. And you've got a level 2 instructor's course now as well for the dog trainer, geeky-minded like myself.
Yes, so the level 2 was brand new this year and we've done 2 level 2s. We've postponed one and I think we've got to postpone another one at the moment. But the good news is my diary is free from June to August because I had planned to have the summer off.
All right. So you're getting the spring off instead?
Yeah. So I'm taking spring off and then everything's going to happen in the summer now. That's
fab.
That's the new plan. But yeah, so the level 2 is a follow on from level 1. Gets a little bit more geeky, gives the instructors more skills. Yeah, we just sort of geek out a bit more. We get more into dogs' lines and using unique reward markers and,
yeah. All the things that tick my boxes, but not necessarily an attendee of the course. But that's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, to have achieved so much in 12 months, my hat is definitely tipped, Carrie-Anne, because that's an unbelievable achievement to start the organisation, to get an amazing group of instructors or clan of Chewies like you've got already and to have so much progression available to not only the instructors but the attendees as well. It's just that's a little bit mind-blowing. So where can people go to get more information? If you just recap the, I think you mentioned there's a Facebook group.
Facebook. So we've got a little Facebook page, so if you can give the Facebook page a like, that would be amazing. When you go there's a little button at the top that says join the group. There's a couple of questions. We've got a really strict, like, no bullying policy in the group. My admins are really good. If anyone gets snarky, they get a warning. And if they get warned again, they're out. So it's a super friendly, supportive group. We actually had a video posted the other day of lambs doing hoopers. Like, you need to join the group.
Amazing.
Oh, my God. Like, your heart just melts. Like, yeah. So the group's free to join. There's units for people to work through. We've got an Instagram. The Instagram's not as active at the moment because obviously we're not able to do as much hooping as we'd like. If people want to follow what's going on in my world a little bit more, Instagram at Dodge Shepherd. Everyone can follow the House Wolves.
Just amazing. Not that I'm biased to German Shepherds, but he is an absolute stunner, and his journey is brilliant, and I absolutely love his videos and his new posing pictures as well, which are
his bodybuilder posing pictures. No, bless him. So yeah, Dodge's Instagram gets updated really regularly. If you're more into your tiny breeds, Minx Chihuahua also has her Instagram. She is a pupfluencer. And so yeah, Insta's kind of where you can follow sort of me and the dogs, Hooper's World, all of that stuff. And then for the courses, it is just www.caninehoopersworld.com.
Fab. And on the website, can people find where their most local instructor is?
So you'll be able to find instructors. We do have a find a trainer section on the website. And also, if you're in the Facebook group, just ask in the group. Because the instructors are there and they will dive in. If you have any Hoopers related questions, ask in the group. We do a welcome post once a week, say hi to all the new members every week. Uptake, we've had a few less since lockdown because I think people are doing less, but the group is sitting at over 1,000.
Wow.
Already, which is really cool. So it's a nice group. It's really friendly, and it's just about people and their dogs having a lovely time.
I can definitely vouch for that as a member of that group. It's one of those groups where it doesn't matter when you go on it. The posts on there are always lovely. They're always really nice. And in a world where the internet and social media can be a little bit grim at times, it's definitely one of the happier, lighter places to go to. And it's definitely got the carry-on sparkle in there, 100%.
Yeah, we only have the sparkly variety of trolls in my groups. I don't have the angry, typey trolls in my group. I only have the sparkly, singing ones in my group, you see.
That's amazing. Well, Carrie-Ann, professionally, thank you very much for joining us on this podcast. Like everyone, obviously, the show notes will include all the links on there. I'll also include Nigel's link that you mentioned a little earlier as well, Carrie-Ann. So thank you so much for that. And yeah, we'll speak again very soon and hopefully see you even sooner.
Take care. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. By the way, do you prefer Carrie or Carrie-Ann?
Whatever. Carry on professionally.
You carry on. I will call you carry on professionally then, as it's going to be a pseudo.
If you actually say carry on professionally, that's going to be amazing. And I also think we should leave this bit in because it's amazing.
Okay, we'll do that then. Carry on professionally. So, hello, carry on.
Oh my god, that's hilarious.
Oh. Right.
We've already got an outtake, amazing.
Best ones.